Well, my, what a wonderful time we've had considering the high priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a glorious and a wondrous thing to realize that our high priest is making intercession for us day by day, moment by moment, and he lives, ever lives, to make intercession for us. And so he's able to save to the uttermost. These are some of the things that we've discovered about the high priesthood of our Lord. And today, in this edition of Daily Grace, I'd like to just continue a little bit to elaborate on a couple of points. And first of all, that the high priesthood of Christ is essential to our spiritual maturity. We ought to understand it. We ought to rejoice in it. And we ought to be able to teach it to others. The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 5, verse 11, says he is concerned about his readers because he has so much to say to them about the priesthood of Christ, but he's having a hard time doing that because they have become dull of hearing. We don't want to become dull of hearing. He goes on to tell them, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So he wants them to move on. He wants them to progress. And the fact that they aren't is an indicator that either they are in a state of rebellion, or they perhaps aren't even Christians at all. Maybe theirs is an empty profession. Any professing Christian who cares little or nothing about the high priesthood of Christ in their life is displaying something very wrong. It's either a lack of spiritual immaturity that's being displayed, or even that his or her profession is empty and perhaps even false. So those are things to consider. We want to move on. We need to progress, and we can't progress spiritually unless we have a good understanding, a working understanding, a working experience, a living experience with the high priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's another danger, too, that I wanted to address this morning, and that is looking to men. Looking to men. Our high priest, Jesus Christ, is a singular high priest. He is our only high priest. He is the only one qualified to be our high priest. But throughout church history, there have been men who have sought to usurp that place, sought to take that place of Christ in your life. Now, looking to men, therefore, can be a real problem in keeping us spiritually immature as well. In 1 Timothy 2:5, we read that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So systems and traditions which assert a hierarchical clergy over God's people, a priesthood which has authority over your eternal destiny, a priesthood that has power to withhold blessing or forgiveness, basically any kind of a clerical hierarchy that lords it over your faith is not of God. It is unbiblical. There's nothing apostolic about it. Now, of course, immediately what comes to mind is the Roman Church with its temple-like structure and its papacy and its sacrificial mass. This is indeed a usurping of Christ. Now, but Rome is an extreme example. They are not a unique example. Any Christian leader who claims power over you, claims power over your soul, who claims that he has the power to bless, has the power to withhold, has the power to speak for God to you in a way that is singular in his authority, is an error. He's wrong. He's false. And we ought to honor our leaders. We ought to honor our teachers, but we ought to never allow them to usurp the place of Christ in our life as our high priest, the singular, exclusive, unique, and final place of Christ as our high priest. And then finally, I want to discuss with you this morning the fact that you are never alone. The high priesthood of Christ means that you are never alone. He is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You are never alone in life or at the moment of death. We read of this, for example, in Acts chapter 7, in which Stephen is preaching to the people, to a group of Jewish people at the temple steps. And he's going through a long reminder, a long history lesson of their own spiritual history. And it's a history that is filled with rebellion. And he tells them of all that had happened. And this happened, and this happened. And he spoke to them of God's true tabernacle. And he begins to speak to them of everything that leads up to Christ and that brings them to Christ. And he ends up by telling them, however, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hands not made all things? This is Acts 7, verses 49 through 50. And then he goes on to tell them at the end of his long sermon recounting the history of the people of Israel. He says these rather rebuking words, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you have now become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. The world hates Christ. And the religious world, there are religious systems and traditions, and there are religious teachers who actually will draw you away from Christ. And Stephen is standing up against that. These are people who had the law, who were in a line of progressive revelation, who should have understood better than anyone that it all pointed to Christ, that it was that the law in the temple priesthood was a shadow, was a type, but instead they're clinging to it and rejecting the substance. They're rejecting Christ. And so Stephen rebukes them. Now, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, it says in verse 54, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, quote, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Jesus was standing with Stephen because Stephen was standing for Jesus. This is very important. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, of course, later to become Paul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down, cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge him with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. In Stephen's short life, and at the moment of his death, he had the experience of understanding that Jesus was standing with him, that he was not alone. Jesus had finished his work, his atoning work, his redeeming work, and he had sat down at the right hand of the Father. But as Stephen is being stoned, Jesus stands and allows Stephen to see him standing. Stephen had this beautiful experience of understanding that at the moment of his death, Well, he had stood for the gospel. He had stood and preached the truth. And although he was experiencing great persecution as a result, even to the point of stoning, Jesus stood with him. We don't always understand what's happening around us. We don't understand if people reject us sometimes for Christ. But we must always be confident that Christ is with us. We must always have that comfort and that assurance and that confidence. If we are to be effective witnesses for Christ, if we are to be spiritually mature, that he is with us. In the high priesthood of Christ, when we understand it for what it is and the glorious nature of it, will help us to realize those things. It will help us to realize that we are never alone, to help us to realize that he is with us, that he is interceding for us, and that we can walk in confidence. We can speak with boldness, knowing that our Lord is with us. Though everyone might forsake us, though the crowd may turn against you, though one day you may even face death for his name, we can be confident of knowing he is with us. Amen.